Hello, I'm Lee Benton, pastor of the Open Door Baptist Church. Our congregation and myself would like to take this opportunity to thank you for listening to the sermon today. Our prayer is that the message will help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you and keep you is our prayer.
Ephesians 4, verse 24, if you're there, will you give me an amen? All right, let's begin reading. I'll read it aloud if you'll read it in your heart this morning. The Bible says, "And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil." Verse 28, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption." Let's stop and say hallelujah. Verse 31, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Hallelujah. Lord, I pray that in Jesus Christ's name you'd help us today. I pray that you'll breathe upon me. Use me, Lord. Please don't refuse me. Surely again this Sunday morning there's a work that you can do through me in the hearts of the people that will hear this message, not only today, but in the future. I pray, God, that you would help us, Lord, to appreciate what's been done in this place so far today. Lord, we've been able to hear from our deacon concerning what God has did for this church in purchasing, Lord, a new van. We've heard, Lord, from our outreach minister concerning the announcements about the pews being soon reupholstered. And Lord, we've heard, Lord, reports about last night's event. Lord, we've heard reports about the Sunday school lesson that's been taught this morning and how people were helped. Lord, we've heard the songs, Lord, from Brother Keith and Miss Angie that remind us, Lord, that we can't handle our own problems, but there's a God in heaven that can. Well, we can't save, and this church can't save a soul, but there's a God that can. And we know that as we serve you, that there'll be those that will turn their back, forsake us, and the old devil's going to attack. But it's worth every mile, it's worth every trial. And one day, it'll become a realization to our hearts when we see Him face to face. And so, Lord, now we're here gathering around the Word of God. And Lord, we ask You that You'd help us. You would encourage us. You would equip us. You would even instruct, rebuke, reprove us if need be. Thank You for these that are here, the many that we mentioned that are out. Lord, we pray for them. Lord, I'm encouraged that there was a day in our church when we had 35 out as we do today, well, there'd hardly be anybody here. But Lord, I thank You for these that are here and how You grow our church, and we ask You to do more of it. And we'll thank You and praise You because You're worthy of that. In Jesus' blessed name, amen. And amen. Thank you. You can be seated this morning. Last Sunday morning, I shared with you how the Lord had impressed upon my heart the scriptures that we're dealing with today, how that I had been sick for a couple of days, and on that Friday morning I wanted to get busy and get things done that I needed to get done, that I'd got behind in, and how the Holy Ghost reminded me that I didn't need to walk out the door and begin my day until I first prepared myself. And I'll say it again, the best way to prepare yourself for what may come in your day is not drinking orange juice, amen, as the commercial would say, but it's spending time with the Lord, amen. So getting time in your Bible and getting time in your prayer closet, because you have no idea what you may face in that new day. And so as I was reading the Word of God, I began reading in Ezekiel chapter 18, and I read about how God was speaking through the prophet, the man of God Ezekiel, to Israel, how they had turned away from God. They had turned towards their unrighteousness and their old sinful nature, and they were worshiping false idols and false gods. And how that through the man of God Ezekiel, the Lord was pleading to His people to turn back to Him. The word repentance in the Word of God gives us the action of turning from sin and turning back to Jesus Christ. I talked about how that things have not changed. We still are saved by God's grace and know all the way. Can I get a witness? But we as saved folks still get away from God. We still fail the Lord. We still sin. We still need to be revived in our heart and in our spirit and our mind. And so I was directed by the Holy Spirit to go to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. And I begin to write some notes down, and God began to make this fresh once again to my own soul and spirit, and I knew that this is where we need to be for these next couple Sundays. And so last Sunday, if you remember, we talked about the sermon entitled, Are You Putting Off or Are You a Put Off? Are you putting off or are you a put off? Quickly, let me say in verses 17, 18, and 19, Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus, to the saved. These are Christians he is writing to. This message today is not directed to those that are lost. You can be saved today, but this message is for the saved. It's for those that have been washed by the blood of Jesus. Their sins have been forgiven, but yet they've turned away from the Lord. They need to be revived. And so Paul is writing concerning the unsaved. And he gives their characteristics in those three verses and those trilogy of verses there. You can see several things that are mentioned. I'll not go over them as I did last week. But it's a picture of what you and I were before we met the Lord. Amen. Beautiful picture, or should I say an ugly picture, and a perfect picture of what we were before Jesus came into our life. Now when you get to verse number 20, Paul says to the church, but ye that are saved, you have not so learned Christ. He is saying to them, in our language, he's saying, that's not what you're supposed to be. You're not supposed to be like that anymore. You've had a miraculous change through the blood of Jesus Christ. You are no longer to walk in the old ways. You are no longer to walk according to the will of the old nature, but you are to walk according to the ways of Almighty God, your Lord and your Savior. He says, you've not learned Christ that way. If you've really been saved, you ought to be different. And so he goes on and he talks about how that in verse 21 he says through verse, 20 and 21 he says there's an insinuation here that Christians that act like sinners are nothing more than hypocrites. Because that's not what you're supposed to be or act like. You're supposed to act like saved people. Can I get a witness in here? If you wasn't here last Sunday morning, you need to see Brother Darrell and get a CD of last Sunday morning, or go to our website or sermonaudio.com, type in my name and you'll see I've probably got 260 sermons on Sermon Audio. Find this sermon and take time to listen to it from last week, and I believe it'll help you. But you and I need to understand that we are a hypocrite when we act like the devil's children. Sometimes we are quick to say a person that's a sinner that acts like a Christian, they're a hypocrite. But here it's saying the Christian that acts like a sinner, he's a hypocrite. You've been changed. You're no longer the children of darkness or children of the night. You are children of the light. You're children of God now. We need to act like it, amen. And so he says, how are we going to act like it? Well, the first thing we need to do is we've got to put off the old man. We've got to put off that old nature, sinful nature. There's been a lot of comments been given to me here this past week about last Sunday's sermon. Good comments, thank God. Helpful comments. Some folks has been sharing with this preacher some experiences they've had since they heard the message last Sunday. I was talking to a couple last night and they were sharing an example in the last few days since they heard the message last Sunday morning. And it blessed my heart. Someone, one of their children said, Mom, Dad, or Mom, don't put off the old man. Put off the sinful. Praise God for that. And I've had to tell myself that several times. Anybody else been like that this week? You've had to remind yourself, put off the old man. Amen. Put off. If you hadn't reminded yourself, then that means you hadn't put it off. And you need to get right with God again. Amen. I'm hoping we'll go forward today. We should have got right with God last Sunday. Can I get a witness? You should have got right with God last Sunday and ready now to go to the second step in this getting right with the Lord. So you are to put off. So I thought about how that this step or this biblical practice of putting off is very vital, but we don't stop there. In the next few verses that we're going to study today, there's a next step. If we're going to put off, then we better take the next step and put on. Today I'm preaching on. Are you putting on or are you a put on? Last Sunday, are you putting off or are you a put off? Today, are you putting on or are you a put on? If you're not putting on the fruits of this spiritual man, this spiritual nature, this nature is pleasing to God, you're nothing but a put-on in the eyes of God. No matter how well you dress on Sunday morning, no matter how many scriptures you can quote, no matter if you can sing all the books without looking at the hymn book, if you are not putting on these fruits of the spiritual man, the man that we're going to look at today, you are nothing but a put-on in the eyes of God. So I'm asking you today, are you putting on or are you a put on? I want to go through the work of putting on today. I want to say to you, the work of putting off the old nature and the work of putting on the fruits of the new nature, they cannot be separated one from another. I want you to think about this morning. Can you imagine if you put off your pajamas that you slept in last night? But you didn't put on your Sunday morning outfit and you came on the church. Whoa. Amen? You just don't stop at putting off. You gotta go a step farther and put on. Amen? And that's what we're dealing with today is putting on. Both of these biblical practices must be very real in our life. They must be very real, so real in our life, in order to be where we should be with the Lord. And when we are where we should be with the Lord, hear me out, we will be what we should be for His glory. You'll never be what you should be for God's glory until you first get where you ought to be with the Lord. Can I get a witness today? You're going to leave me by myself. Somebody help me today. And you need to get where you need to be with the Lord before you can be what you need to be for the Lord. And so it's very important that we get a hold of this today. Or better yet, it's very important that it gets a hold of us today. You can't be something spiritually special to other people until first the Lord is really something spiritually special to you. Did you hear me? You cannot be something spiritually special to others until first the Lord is something spiritually special to you. You can't help others until you first get help from the Lord yourself. And so we're dealing with this revival that we need, the renewing that we need. We know that we need to put off, but now we need to go a step further and we need to study this practice out that God has given us to put on some things. I thought about if you and I don't put off the, if we put off the old man, if we put off the old nature, but we don't put on something, we're spiritually undressed. I'm trying to help you today. I'm very simple today. If we go step one and we put off the old man, but we stop there, and a lot of folks, they don't understand, you've got to go a step farther, and if we don't put on some things that God has instructed us to, we end up being spiritually undressed. And when you are spiritually undressed, you are spiritually unprepared. And you get chewed up and spit out by the devil himself. There's no way you can put on the whole armor of God until you first put off the old man. But if you try to put off the old man and you think that's sufficient, you are deceiving yourself. Because you must go farther, and it's right here in the Bible, you must put on some things. And so if we're going to obey the Lord and we're going to put off that old nature, then we need to win a complete victory by putting on some things. So in verses 25 through 32, go with me there, we've been given a list of valuable traits that we need to get a hold of, or it needs to get a hold of us, so that we can be right with the Lord. Is anybody here wants to be right with the Lord? I do. And I know that I need to put off. This week, or this past week, since today's a day of a new week, this past week, there were times where Satan would tempt me or something would come my way to try to get me to allow the old man to get victory. Someone said last night, said, "That's my biggest problem, preacher, if the old man gets too much victory." And I said, "You know, the biggest problem I have, or the problem I have the most problem with in our church, the person that gives me the most problem in this church is not you, but it's me." You know the problem, the person that gives you the most problem? You. Come on, I'm trying to help you. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to help you. Well, I know I got the sword and it's cutting, but it also helps. It also heals. And I'm telling you, we're our biggest enemy. Our flesh, our sinful nature destroys our relationship with the Lord. It takes away that joy and peace that we have. And so we need to look about this putting on, so that we won't be in God's eyes nothing but a put on. The first thing is found in verse 25. Are you with me? I hope you got a pen and pencil, and I hope you're ready to go. What are we going to put on? If we put off, what are we going to put on? Verse 25. "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor." The first thing that you and I need to put on after we put off the old man, we need to put on honesty. Can I get a witness? You know, preacher, that's elementary, and I'm telling you, there's a lot of deceitful, lying, saved people today. You know I'm right. They have no control over their tongue. They lie in various ways. They are a liar, and they are deceitful in what they say. And I'm telling you, as God's people, if we're going to be right with the Lord, if we're going to have the fresh touch of the Holy Spirit upon our life, we must put on honesty. I am just amazed and also concerned about, in my 12 years of pastoring, or almost 13 years, and in my 15 years, 16 years of preaching the gospel, I am appalled by the folks that call themselves Christian and yet they lack integrity. It blows my mind. The people that lack integrity, they're not sound, they're not honest, they're not genuine, they're not true. They're nothing but a bunch of hypocrites. You and I need honesty. I'm trying to help you today. I love you. But we need honesty. Put on honesty. You know why we need to put on honesty? Well, the Bible gives you the reason. I'm not going to give you the answer. I'm going to let you read your Bible. Verse 25. Why? The last part. Why should we put on honesty? Why? For we, the saved, are members one of another. If we lie, if we're deceitful, we negatively affect our brothers and our sisters in the family of God. If you're a liar or a deceiver, or if you're presently lying about something, or you're trying to deceive people, I'm telling you, you are affecting or infecting your brothers and sisters in Christ. Lying does not build up, but what did I say it did last Sunday? It puffs up. I don't want to puff up people. I want to build up people. Lying does not build up. The Bible says build up in the most holy faith. Build each other up, right? Don't puff them up. We know how to puff each other up, don't we? We know how to blow each other's head up where we can't get out the front door. Can I get a witness? God never said do that. He said build up. But you know what lying does? Tears down. Lying and deceitfulness tears down. It destroys. And the Word of God says the reason that we need to put on honesty and have integrity is because we are members, watch these last three words, one of, we are a body of Christ, the body of Christ. We're in this thing together. You can say, well, I can do what I want as a Christian. I can say what I want and I can do this and it ain't going to bother nobody. That is a lie from the pits of hell that Satan has deceived you with. Your life does affect other Christians that know you. Your life does affect others in your church. Amen? You become unfaithful. The one around you that's struggling with that, they become unfaithful because they say, well, they can do it, I'll do it. You better be careful about lying and being deceitful. It'll hurt other people. So we need to put on honesty. You know, many talk about, and maybe some of you folks that are older than I am, you remember the days of the honest handshake. The old honest handshake. And still, I'm sure there's some still today that believe in it and you can trust their handshake to be honest. But I believe years ago there probably were more honest handshakes back then than there are today. I believe that might be so. You agree with that? But I want to say this to you. Even though there was the days of the honest handshake, all the way back to the biblical days, there was always this mentality of a dog-eat-dog world. It's always been around. The mentality, cheat. It's all right to cheat if you get ahead. Are you hearing me? That mentality, that dishonesty has always been ever since Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden. It's always been a dog-eat-dog world. And folks are dishonest with people in their business practices and in so many different issues of their life all the time because they think they need to get ahead. But it's dishonesty. And God forbid, are you hearing me? God forbid that you and I, as saved people, lie like we used to before we got saved. Put off that lying and put on honesty. Amen? Put it on. Be honest. Because we're members one of another. Number 2, verse 26. Not only should we put on honesty, but number 2, we need to put on temperance. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. There are some things biblically you are to get upset about. When I see some Christians don't get upset about some things, I don't see, they don't get upset about teen pregnancy, they don't get upset about people that tried to degrade the foundation of traditional scriptural marriage, when they don't get upset about homosexuality, they don't get upset about men marrying men and women marrying women, they don't get upset about people dying because they went down to the drugstore or the liquor store and they drunk their beer and they went across the curb, crossed the center line and killed somebody. took somebody's husband, took somebody's wife, took somebody's child, took somebody's grandchild into eternity. When I see God's people don't get upset about that, it disturbs me. You ought to get upset about sin, amen? You ought to get upset about it, amen? Ought to make your blood boil, amen? The Lord got upset at sin. Got upset at it. I mean, he had righteous indignation. Boy, he got upset at sin. He called them Pharisees that were deceiving everybody. He said, you ain't nothing but a bunch of vipers. A bunch of slithering snakes. That's what our Jesus said. Some of you think Jesus is all about just encouraging and patting everybody on the back. He's also a God that gets angry. The Bible says He is actually angry with the wicked every day. Thank you, Brother Key. That's Bible. He said He's so angry that He will cut the wicked down like a blade of grass. When you mow your grass and them pieces of grass come shooting out of the mower deck, you remember the Scripture, one day God's going to cut the wicked down and they're going to be nothing but the chaff of the wind and they're going to be blown off into hell for all eternity. I tell you, there's some things you ought to be upset about. Our school system wants to teach our children that our ancestors hung from a tree. Ought to make you upset. Ought to make you upset. People carrying guns in the school and want to shoot people up, even threaten it. It ought to upset you as a Christian. Sin ought to upset everyone. It ought to disturb us. Amen? Too many people play around with sin. Too many people say, oh, we overlook it. We're Christians. We got to love everybody. Sure you do, but you ain't got to love everything. You're welcome today. I ain't getting a lot of help. Am I an Open Door Baptist? Usually I get a help right here. Am I at the right church or am I at one of them liberal churches today? I'm telling you, you ought to get upset at sin. Be angry. Then it says, but don't sin. You ought to be angry at abortion, but don't go blow the abortion clinic up. You ought to be angry at civil unions between same-sex couples, but don't go shoot them because just got married. You know? Be a Christian in your anger and be a Christian in the way you react to your anger. It says, be angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath. That means, husband and wife, if you've had an argument, and we don't all practice this, you've had an argument before you go to bed, you ought to make it right before you get your first minute of sleep in. What it says, you don't know if you'll wake up and your spouse be in eternity. And you may remember the last thing you did or said to your spouse was an argument, fussing or belittling that spouse. And you'll wish to God you had another chance. Don't let the sun go down on you. That includes children. I don't know about you, but I think it's right for parents to apologize to their children. I've had to say I'm sorry to Morgan and Matthew. Because I don't want them to think that I can say anything to them and be wrong and get by with it because I'm daddy. I pay the bills. We'll just overlook it. But then they do something wrong, and they get paddling, or they get on, what is the word y'all use? Grounded, or what? Yeah, they have to apologize. They have to admit what they did wrong, and then me turn around and do wrong, and me not tell them I'm sorry. I've had to tell Matthew and Morgan I am sorry. Amen. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. You may wake up and you'll not be able to do it the next morning. Are you with me? Have your heart right one with another. What do we need to put on? We need to put on temperance. That's what it's all about, temperance. And Lord, God knows that you and I need more temperance. Oh Lord, we need temperance. Temperance simply is self-restraint. Someone said one time self-restraint is being able to buy a Hershey's candy bar or a Mr. Good bar, and one of them giant ones, you know, open it up, and just take one piece and eat one piece, and that's all. That's self-restraint. I call that stupid. That's what I call it. Amen. I believe you already eat half of it at least, save the other half for an hour later. Amen. I had a Mr. Good bar the other day, and I forgot how good they were. Amen. And I'm telling you what, that's what they said self-restraint is. But you and I need temperance. We need temperance. Oh, God, give us temperance. Number three, we need to put on the mind of Christ. Look at verse number 27. I'll go through this. Brother Keith mentioned this today during the song leading. Neither give place to the devil. The word devil there in verse 27 actually means deceiver. It means slanderer. We're talking about being dishonest and not being honest. We're talking about being deceitful. We're talking about being wrong in what we say to others. And so verse 27, the Lord tells you and I, don't give place to the great deceiver. Don't give place to that great slanderer. He's the father of lies. And all he knows to do is just speak lie after lie after lie. He does not know honesty. He cannot speak truth. Amen. So we are to not give them place. You know how we give them place in our life? Most of the time we give them place in our life through our mind, our thoughts. Satan, from the very beginning, has attacked the mind of God's people. You look back, I don't got time this morning, you look back in your Bible, and I'll promise you, if you don't agree, you'll come back and say, preacher, you was right. He has always attacked the mind of God's people. He knows he no longer has your heart. The Lord has it. But he can, and this is sad, while the Lord has your heart, Satan can have your mind at the same time. Satan has always planted seeds of doubt. He's always planted seeds of destruction. He's always started. Every sin starts and has started and will always start with a thought. He always starts in the mind. It may be something you watch, boom, a thought. It may be something you hear, boom, the thought. Maybe something that you thought you heard or you thought you saw. Because you didn't have an understanding spirit, you misunderstood a conversation or something, a fault. And that fault gets in there, it's like a worm, it begins eating and crawling and slithering in your mind, and Satan is gnawing and gnawing and gnawing. And even though you're a Christian, we're talking about Christians today, your heart, you're going to heaven. If you died right then, you'd go to heaven. You can't lose that salvation because you're in the Father's hand. No man can pluck you out, but yet your mind be far away from Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we need to think on these things, those of a good report, virtue, honesty. Do you remember the scripture? Think on these things. What about the bad thoughts? What about the dishonesty? What about those discouraging thoughts? Those thoughts of despair? Those thoughts that would dishearten us in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ? What are we to do with them? The Bible says, cast them down, amen. Cast them out of your mind and think on the things that are good report. Think on those of virtue. Because I'm telling you, in your mind, Satan can rule and reign, although God has your heart. And so he says, don't give place. Don't let him reign. The word place is speaking of authority. It is speaking of a position, a high position of ruling. He says, don't give him authority. He wants on you. He once treated you like a puppet on his strings, and you walked according to his ways and his wills and his word. But now you've been washed. Now you're a child of God. Don't let him have authority in your life. Don't give him place. Not even in your mind. He's not allowed up there. Can I get a witness? Don't let him take residence in your mind. He'll destroy you as a Christian. People come in sometimes to church and they got a foul look on their mouth, and I promise you, they have done nothing but sit there in the last few days and they've allowed the devil to put thoughts after thoughts after thoughts in their mind, and now they're mad at everybody. And I told someone the other day, I said, I had that one time where and this has been years and years ago, where the people I knew, it wasn't in this church, but allow the devil to put a thought in my mind about them that they didn't love me, they didn't care for me, they didn't want to see me succeed as a minister and all. And it's just several things there. And allow that fault to develop, and it went on, and it went on, and it went on, and it went on, and I found out they were not the ones that was not right with God. I was the one that wasn't right with God. We're so bad about doing this. Everybody else is wrong, but I'm okay. And so often, we're the ones not right with God. Amen? Temperance. I hope this is helping you. Put on the mind of Christ. Put on the mind of Christ. The Lord would never give Satan place in his mind. Wouldn't done it. Satan tried three times to put thoughts in Jesus' mind. Three times. It's called the temptation. And all three times, Jesus gave him the Word of God. And he said, "Get behind me. Get behind me, Satan. You're not taking rule in my mind. Them thoughts are not going to stay there." Can I get a witness? You teenagers need this too. Because, you know, I wish they was all here today. You get thoughts that so-and-so girl in the youth group don't like you no more. Just silly, stupid stuff. You better be careful with that. You singles better be careful with that. You better be careful. You mom and dad, your grandparents, better be careful. Satan will put a thought in there. And if you allow him to take place and root up in your mind, he'll destroy your relationship with Jesus Christ. And sadly, he'll destroy your relationship with so many different people. I was out this morning warming the car up. I was going to come up early and finish my studying. And when I went by, some folks that used to go to church here came by several years ago, and they came by. And, of course, they looked, and when they saw me, they looked straight right fast. I guess they heard we got a new van. They want to see what's going on down here, you know. Act like they didn't care, but now they care what's going on. And I got thinking about them, and I thought about what happened. And I sat down with this husband, and we talked. I had with another man in this church with me. And I told him, I said, "You've allowed a thought come in your mind. And instead of being spiritually mature and growing up in Jesus, you allow that thought take root in your heart. And you allow it to grow and grow. And no matter what I tell you, no matter how many witnesses I have, you're not going to believe us because the devils took place in your mind. And now they're out. They're out. It'll destroy your relationship with others. Better be careful. Be careful, little mind, what you think about. All right, we're going to have to shut her down. All right, verse 28. What's the fourth thing we put on? Is anybody getting help? I appreciate it. What's the fourth thing we need to put on? How about unselfish giving spirit? An unselfish giving spirit. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather put off that stealing. Put on what? Let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to what? Give. To him that what? Needeth. That he may have to give to him. You and I need to put on an unselfish giving spirit. God's people today, so many of them, not all of them, but so many of them are very selfish people. We give our money to all the things that don't need our money, while folks around us that are in need suffer because we're selfish. We need to put on an unselfish giving spirit. Amen. We need to help each other. Give. And it's more than finances. So for you that's getting uncomfortable in your pew, it's more than finances. You need to give your talent. You need to give your efforts. You need to give your time. You need to give your abilities. You need to give it to others. I'm working on a gentleman that's got talent with instruments. And I've been working home for a while, and I said, "You need to be playing in church. You need to be given to this church." And that's the way I feel. You need to be given. If you have a talent to play, somebody said the other day they was going to play, they're in band or they're something, and I said, well, please don't always play at band concerts and at your school and never play on the pulpit. I said, "I'll give you a chance to play. If it's old MacDonald had a farm, who cares? I'll let you play it." Amen. I said, I want you to use your talent for church. Use it for the Lord. Use it for the... And I'm telling you, this church needs people that have a given spirit. We need it. Amen? We need it. We need it. I guess one thing I can say about Brother Wendell, he had a given spirit. Very unselfish man. You wouldn't believe the things he did for me and my wife. He loved us. He was close to me. He loved us. You wouldn't believe the unselfishness Wendell Lamar Harris was. But yet, Miss Tiffany, although we think that he's the one that gave and we were the one that got, in actuality, he's the one that got. He's the one that got blessed. At least I thought we were being blessed. But he's the one that got blessed. And he's in heaven today. And there's a day coming that's during the 7-year tribulation period while we're there at the judgment seat of Christ. He's going to be rewarded. And we're going to say, oh, Brother Wendell, thank you for what you did. And he's going to say, woo-hoo! What do you mean? Look what I gained. Look what I gained out of it. Amen? That's the right spirit. It's not what you can gain. It's what you can do for others. And in return, you gain more than you ever dreamed of. Amen? That's how it works. That's how it works. And so we are to put on unselfish giving spirit. We're to put on, verse 29, edification. I'm going to say this and I'm going to preach from them tonight, but I'm going to give you the outline for those that are not going to be able to come. You put on edification in verse 29. Verse 30, you put on obedience. Verse 31, you put on kindness. And verse 32, you put on forgiveness. There's some things that we need to put off. But after we put them off, there are some traits that we are to put on. We are to put on honesty. Please don't be a deceiver. Please don't lie. Please don't do that. Please speak the truth. Because you affect us positively or negatively when you choose to speak honestly or to deceive. You need to put on temperance. We all need to put on temperance. Self-restraint. I'm amazed. I deal with it so often, people that they want to come to me and they'll say, so-and-so this, so-and-so that. And you ought to heard what's up. And I always tell folks, I said, I'm not going to make a judgment call until I've heard both sides of the story. We have low self-restraint that when a buddy of ours come to us and they tell us what so-and-so said or so-and-so did, automatically, with being very unwise and immature in the faith, we automatically make an assumption. And we automatically get an attitude formed because of that assumption when we weren't wise enough and Christ-like enough to hear both sides of the story. Amen? I've made some dumb mistakes by making a judgment call when I only heard one side of the story. I've had people say, well, so-and-so this. I said, well, I appreciate that, but I've not talked so-and-so. I want to hear both sides, don't you? I want to. If you hear something about me, please come to me and let me tell you my side. Amen? Let me tell you my part. Amen? You might be amazed. Even someone you thought wouldn't lie to you might have just lied to you. So come and hear. Amen? We deserve that kind of respect around here with each other, don't we? Huh? Amen? Amen? Put on the mind of Christ. Put on unselfish, giving spirit. Put on edification. Put on obedience. Put on kindness. And put on forgiveness. Oh, God, help us to put off the old man. That old sinful nature. What we used to be like. How we used to talk, walk, act, react, think. And now may we put on these things that God has instructed us to. This is not a suggestion, church. This is a commandment of God. We need to put on. So can I ask you today, are you putting on? Or are you nothing more than a put-on? Oh, I don't want to be a put-on, do you? I don't want to be a hypocrite. I want to put on some things so God can touch me and use me. Okay. Thank you so much for listening to the sermon today. We hope and pray that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16,
For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says in John chapter number 14 that Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Our prayer here at Open Door Baptist Church is that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you, and He's more than capable and more than willing to cleanse you from unrighteousness and from your sins and make you a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible says if you repent, turn from your sin and turn to Jesus Christ, and by faith believe in His death, His burial, and His resurrection for your salvation, you too can be saved. Our prayer is that you think upon this and that very soon you'll make an eternal decision to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Thank you so much.